This is iHeartRadio's Prattcast with Stephanie Pratt and Wells Adams.
Hey, guys.
What up?
Sorry for being late, Wells.
It's all right. I'm actually just used to this. You know what we're going
to
start doing?
You're used to it? You cannot say things like that.
I'm sorry. You know what we're going to start doing?
We hung out last week for like 30 minutes before.
Oh, yeah. Listen, this is what we're going to start doing. We're just going to start saying that our call times are earlier, even though they're not. And then you will get here like right when the show starts.
Do you want to know something crazy?
This happens all, it's not going to be a crazy
thing. Wait, so I thought, I thought it was at noon because that's what I was told originally.
Yeah.
So I left my Pilates class early so I could shower and get ready to be here for noon. But while I was getting ready after I showered, I saw that Amy wrote 12:30.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, great.
Yeah. And now here we are. I'm excited for this show today.
Oh, Wells, you have no idea. And our listeners, this is going to be a shocking, shocking show.
Really?
There's so much that I've learned from Jason and Ashley. They have been through like three lifetimes in the past decade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to hear.
Okay. So I've been wanting to know, tell me how everything went in New York.
New York was great, actually. Like,
really?
I probably had the best time. Like, when people always ask me, what's your fondest memory of the Hills? And I really think when people ask me about this series, I'll be like, the press tour. Not even like a certain episode. I had the best time with everyone. And I really realized we are such a family and we do look out for each other so much. Like, there was never, because our schedule was crazy. We pretty much were in a sprinter from like 7 a.m. till 5:30, just going from interview to interview to interview. We didn't have lunch breaks. It was wild. Everyone was, you know, up in arms about that. But we had some Boss Bagels Postmated. Anyway,
did you have time to change your clothes?
Oh, there's always time. I mean, it was like a struggle though.
Thank God.
It was really hard. They didn't have like makeup, touch-ups, anything. Thank God for hair and makeup at 5 a.m.
You just said like the cast and you are such a family. Save your actual family that's on the cast, right?
Sans.
Okay.
What?
Minus your actual family. Like, was it weird? Did you have to confront Spidey?
No. I mean, I only saw them on the after show, and yeah. It is probably the most satisfying, gratifying moment of my life. I cannot wait for everyone to see the after show. Forget the episode. I cannot wait for this after show. I mean, I don't want to give it away, but they're like dumbfounded. They're speechless.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just like the best. I'm right. And everyone's like, so I cannot wait for that. And like just in life in general, that's just made me so much happier.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for that. We were out at dinner every night together. You know, the Wild Ones made it to the club every night. We did have to get up at 5 a.m. But it was, I don't know. It's just like, I guess like in high school, there were so many groups and being left out. And even when I'm in London, like, you know, it's like the British girls. And then there's, you know, I have my American friends. And it's just like there's always groups. And this trip, I love them. Like, I'm so sorry, guys, for what I say and do on the show, but I do love you guys. Everyone, yeah, big apologies coming. But I mean, just the group texts, they were just so inclusive. Like, are you guys back from your, you know, People Now magazine interview? Because we're at Clio Bar if you want to come. I felt a part of the group. And it's been hard for me to come back from London without any friends here. You know, the ups and downs that I've had this year with my family, I've kind of taken all of my focus and energy of just wrapping up in my own world. And, you know, I've been painfully lonely. So just, I know I'm going back to London, but I think I have a home here now.
Well, that makes me happy.
Yeah, no, like honestly, Wells, it was, I mean, Brody and I, we were in the same group for the press tours. And we were just laughing hysterically. So I've realized something. Well, only because of like Brody and Brandon Lee and yeah, basically just them. I have no filter. Now I know that, but the things, but the things I say, I don't even realize are like illegal until they start laughing, go stuff, and like just die. I think it's literally a London thing, because I don't get lots of like woes, because I don't know, like I don't have a filter there either. I'm just an unfiltered person, but there, no one's like laughing, going, "Oh my god!" Every interview, Brody was like shaking his head, just laughing hysterically. I was like, well, "All I said was, I bet you've got brand new questions." To the 10th reporter.
Give me an example of the things that you say that are illegal.
Okay, Derek came up.
Okay.
At People Now. And they're like the cutest co-hosts ever. I loved them. Anyways, I can't remember her name, but she had dated one of Derek's friends. And so she was like asking, I think this was all off camera, just like about Derek and what happened. And I just told her, you know, like, It just wasn't the right timing. And then, of course, I went into how amazing he is and, you know, my true feelings and thoughts about Derek. And she had the same about, you know, him and the guy that she dated. And she brought him up again, something else. And this time we were filming. And then someone asked, like, are you single? And she said, yeah. And I was like, no wonder you're asking me all about Derek if he's single. And like they freaked out, and I don't think that's bad at all. And like I had to go like after, because they made it like such a deal. Like, I was like, I'm joking. She's like, I would never date him. I'm like, no, it's I went on two dates. Like, I made a joke. I'm sorry if it was offensive, but yeah, I don't think America's gonna be ready for me on the hills if
so
the press
did you
couldn't handle it.
So did you get to watch the episode?
Yes.
Oh, I want to know.
How did it go? Is it good?
You're so funny. How did it go?
What? Tell me something. Illegal.
Well. God, I wish I remembered more things. Brody is going to come on though. And how weird is this that we're friends? But in the episode, oh my gosh. So I didn't get to watch it with everyone. I forgot all this drama. So I was on the Sunday morning flight to New York because I got in around 2:30 and I went to go see my friends. And it's 7:50 a.m. I'm just about to board. And then it says flight canceled. The plane hadn't arrived. And by the time, you know, it would be cleaned and we would get on it, it was too late for, you know, because of air traffic control. So all of a sudden, all of the flights are booked up. Like, the last one is 11:55. I'd get in, and like, the flights were, I don't want to do the math right now and have everyone make fun of me. You know, I'm bad at time differences. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'd be getting in around like 8 a.m., 9 a.m. And the screening was at 8:30. So I ended up having to get on another airline. And Alaska, what happened to Virgin America? It was like the same plane, but it said Alaska. It was weird. So then obviously my luggage was lost, didn't have luggage, and the crew at MTV is the cutest, and they got me underwear and some pajamas and some Dermalogica face wash.
At the airport?
No, they had someone go get it in New York. So when I arrived in my room, I had like fresh underwear, pajamas, toothbrush, and like,
oh, because you had nothing.
Got it. But thank God in my carry-on, I had a dress because my stylist kind of screwed me.
As one does, carries a gown in there.
In their backpack.
So since I had this time in between my flights, I didn't have enough time to get back to the Palisades, but I had like 2.5 hours. So I was like, sir, take me to Beverly Drive. So,
oh my God, this is a movie.
Oh my God, they gave me a driver for the day.
Is this an episode of The Hills?
And I said to him, I was like, this is my dream. Like, when I see Bethany like chatting and hanging out with her driver, like, that's all I want.
Bethany Frankel?
Yeah. I was like, this is all I want. It's just like a friend, a driver, like, I think, I don't know. It was just the best day ever. I just wish I could afford to have a driver. It was so lovely. Everyone was like, who's getting out of the car? I was like in a hoodie and pajamas. Okay, so anyways, I couldn't find a gown there. I got two dresses for safety. And then I called my best friend, Hallie. And she's a stylist. She's doing like the biggest A-list actress right now. I'm dying to spill the beans, but I can't. But like huge, big time. She grabbed me an Ellie Saab gown. And I just like put it in my bag. And then we went back to the airport. And then so when I woke up, I had hair and makeup come. And I missed the screening. But then they showed it to me like, you know, right before the after show when people were just like having breakfast and mingling.
Was the gown wrinkled?
They esteemed it. No. But you know what's so weird is they had like very specific rules and one of them was no mesh. My dress had mesh everywhere.
No mesh.
Isn't that a weird thing?
Saying illegal things, having mesh in the gown, it's going well.
And
right
that's
off
not
the
even
bat.
The episode.
Yeah.
And I just want to say I kept my cool and I was very chilled on Sunday, even though that was the gnarliest. When I went to go look at the customer service right after it said canceled, 300 people in line.
Woo.
I just walked right past it.
Yeah.
Called MTV.
At some point,
like,
you just
call
go.
Someone.
There's nothing you can do in those situations, so you just go, whatever.
Yeah. So the episode. Yeah. Woo. It's good.
That was a 15-minute lead up to the episode.
And that was it. That's all I have to say.
Literally, you just told us about your travel issues and nothing about the show. Wait, hold on. Is it just the first episode you watch?
Yes.
Okay. You did an after show just for episode one of the show?
Yes.
So are you guys doing after shows after every episode?
I don't think so. I heard that it was just for some episodes.
Because usually you just do an after show after the season finale.
I think this is so much more, though, because it is new beginnings. I mean, it has to have an after show so we can talk about it. Realistically, the episode needs to be like 4 hours to get everything in. And yeah. But I mean, if you think about it, there's a lot of people being introduced. And there's one very important person being introduced.
Stephanie Pratt?
No.
Misha
Pamela
Barton?
Pamela Anderson.
Oh, is she in the first episode?
I think so. I think when Brandon's introduced.
Ooh, juicy.
Wait, so hold. Pamela Anderson is now on the Hills?
I mean, yeah, she's like diehard Malibu, of course.
Can anyone who was on a show in the late 90s and early 2000s that had to do with Southern California be on the Hills at this point?
You still got to audition.
Yeah.
You got to audition to be our friends. Do I want to hang out with you all the time? I don't know. Say something
funny. I'm waiting
for
like Zach Morris to show up on the Hills for some reason.
Oh, yeah. No, he's too old.
Kelly Kapowski.
I'd be okay with Kelly Kapowski.
So are you excited about the Hills? Are you nervous? Like, were you pumped after watching it? Like, what's your initial like thought?
It's still weird. In a few of the interviews, I'd be asked, "Are you the villain?" We're hearing that you're the villain, so it is still weird, especially with like the gratification that I finally have in the after show. But again, like what I always say is everyone's a villain at some point. Everyone's a hero at some point. It's up and down. Like no one, I mean, Whitney's the only one that's closest to perfect. But no one else, you know, we're all on this roller coaster. But Whitney keeps it even, straight and even. I love her. She asked me to go on her podcast today.
Oh, do it. Because we want to promote this show on that show. So do it.
Yes.
And then tell her to come on ours.
Duh.
I love her.
I guess you either gotta die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain, and that's probably what happens to everyone on that show.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Yeah. Is that a quote by Wells or is that Shakespearean?
Socrates. I didn't come up with that.
Lay it on us again.
It's either you die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
That is so. I always think the heroes die first. Like the good people always die.
That's
like
from Batman,
real life too.
By the way.
Oh my Batman.
My favorite thing is that Easton came in with the nerd reference. Just,
oh, you didn't Google that?
Is that Socrates? No, that's Bruce Wayne, you idiot.
You knew that?
I knew it. I just wanted to, I did Google to make sure it originated in that movie, and it did.
Oh my God, Easton. Love you. Both of you boys. That's what you are, boys. Jeez.
Yeah, but we're cool.
But that is so true. I wish I could tell you guys more about the episode. I just can't. But next week, I'm going to spill the beans.
Oh, can't wait.
I saw something.
What did you
see? I saw something that Chris Harrison tweeted. Sorry, my mouth is full. Do you want to? Should I tell everyone or would you like to?
Well, it was today that they announced the first people that are going to be on Bachelor in Paradise. I don't know if you saw that, which is exciting because the show is officially coming back. So here's who they announced this morning on August 5th. So they announced that Demi's going to be on the show. John Paul Jones is going to be on the show.
Yes, so he doesn't make it through.
Blake Hortzman is going to be on the show. Tayshia is going to be on the show. Clay is going to be on the show, which is, that's kind of juicy because Clay was just dating this girl, Angela, from like Bachelor Nation. So who knows what's going to happen there. Bibi is returning for the 7 millionth time, apparently. And Always Be Cam is coming to the beach.
Tayshia's my girl, though. Tayshia's my girl.
Yeah, Tayshia's... Tayshia seems nice. But anyways...
What's the girl's name that's been on it forever? Bibi?
Bibiana.
Bibiana. But yeah, so they weren't supposed to... They didn't release that I was on the show, but Chris Harrison tweeted about it. So I think that...
Easton, let's get like a bell or something. Yeah, it's out, people. Little Wellesley's back.
Looking for love.
Nope. Looking for
drinks.
An ice scoop and a shaker.
Have your bartending skills improved?
Yes and no. I would say that.
Wells, so how many seasons have you been the bartender?
This is gonna be my third. So here's the thing. I'm at the beach bar, so it's a limited stuff you can have down there. Because it's not like a fully stocked bar, right? I don't have a blender, so I can't make daiquiris and pina coladas and stuff. Okay.
I literally love that it's real. It's not TV bar. It's,
no.
Wells is actually just...
At a tiki bar?
Making drinks for these guys. And,
but not with and blenders. No,
so it's like a lot of me like doing shakers and stuff.
Oh, shakers.
But yeah, like also like I have to like wash the cups and cut the produce.
Is there a dishwasher?
Yes. No.
Okay, that freaks me out because I was in Big Brother and there's no dishwasher. It gets dirty, Wells.
I know. That's why I have to wash them. And then like they all like walk off and go talk and then they leave their cups everywhere. So I just plod around the sand and pick up everyone's cups and then bring them back and wash them. Everyone wants my job until they see me do it. And they're like, ugh, you're actually doing this? We just thought that you were like, I don't know, like just giving advice.
Like Isaac. Like I don't think Isaac on the Love Boat was actually making drinks.
Yeah. No,
he was an actor.
I'm actually making the drinks. Also, I'm the one that has to regulate the drink amount because now that there's like a limit that you can have every hour after people went a little bit crazy. So now there's like extra responsibility on me, and none of these ass tip me. So you know.
Wait, do they? How do you monitor it? Do they give you a drink ticket or something?
That'd be
cute. I have like a binder and I denote.
Oh my God. So you have to make the drinks, do the dishes, clean the garbage and paperwork.
Yes. Again, no respect. No respect over here.
No tips.
And no tips.
I would love to come out and clean up the cups and people watch. No, honestly, I think I would.
No, it's so hot. What do you want? Let's go through it. What do you want? What can I get you right now?
Margarita.
Okay. Does that require a blender?
Tequila on the rocks, no. Oh, so, I could be really annoying and order a mojito. Actually, if I was there, I'd order a mojito every time.
Yeah. It's a lot of sugar in mojitos. If you want to scare some people who are having to wear bikinis on the beach for an entire season, you tell them how much sugar is in something, and then they don't order it because they're terrified, and then my job gets easier.
You're so funny.
What about my fresh squeezed lemonade?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I can do that. And then I'll throw in a little soda water, make a little spritzy. That'd
be
like a good
one. I like that a lot.
Do the girls just end up drinking like vodka straight, tequila straight, because they're worried about how they look in a bikini? Is that what it kind of comes down to?
It's actually more the guys are.
No. That's amazing.
Very concerned with sugar and stuff.
Oh, my God. And they're all going to have spray tans. Oh, my God. We need to film that. I want to see the pre-show.
I think tonight,
pre and prep.
I think tonight on The Bachelor, they're going to announce the rest of the cast.
It's on that show, Grand Hotel.
Oh, yeah, Grand Hotel, starring our friend Rosalind Sanchez.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got a guest. I'm very excited about
this,
Steph. Two guests. The Wallers are coming in, and like I was like reading up on their story. It's kind of crazy, so I'm excited for this interview. We're going to take a quick break, and we come back. Prattcast got the Wallers.
Yes.
Well, I think this is going to be a very popular episode of the Prattcast because Jason and Ashley Waller in the studio
right now. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Hi.
Stephanie is just shaking Ashley.
I know.
We're really excited.
I love them. You have no idea. I didn't know Jason on the original Hills because he was on it the first series, and I think I came on the third, maybe?
Yeah. Second episode or six.
Jason, were you on the first and second series?
I was on the first season, and then I kind of dovetailed out from the second, and then I did like a cameo tour on season three.
Gotcha. I never got to meet Jason.
Yeah.
And we're at the VMAs in August, and there's this guy and this girl in a beautiful red dress. And I'm just kind of like walking by them. We're at a hotel bar, like waiting to be shuttled to the event.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like walking by them. And then, you know, they're like, okay, it's time to go. Like everyone. And I'm like, where's Jason Waller? And behind me goes, I'm right here. I was like, oh my God. Cause I don't know.
I love them so much, but I have no idea what he looks like.
Well, right. No. And then like we met and then filming and spending time with them, they are just like the most stand up, I know it's not a word, but like funnest people. I don't know how to describe it. Like,
you're
look
so
how fun
nice.
They are.
This is great.
I
keep it going.
You.
Oh my gosh. And I call her Queen.
Yeah,
I don't call anyone else.
Nice to meet you, man.
Hi, Ashley. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Why do you call her Queen?
Because she is. Wait till you just hear. I've already told Wells that you guys have a lot to hopefully share. Are we sharing today?
You can do whatever you'd
like. Yes. We're open books.
This is their story is why I call her Queen.
Yeah. I just want to know, are you happy to be back or are you like, I thought this was over?
That's a great question because originally, I mean, I would say overall, yes, I'm excited to be back due to the fact that when I was on this originally, I was not in the best mental state of mind and it was a totally different introduction. I mean, even the cast that I did know, it was still like me meeting them for the first time going back on this time because I didn't connect with them. You know, I was in such deep, you know, dark stages of my addiction during that time. So this time I think it's cool because everything's come full circle and I'm in a totally different place in my life. So it's definitely interesting, but it's also been fun. I've enjoyed it.
But that's what's so great about the series is what I've been saying in interviews is, you know, the original one, everyone's an intern and trying to get a job or working the doors at a nightclub, trying to start a career. And now you get to see everyone full circle, like Jason said, doing what they're doing.
Life.
Doing life.
Okay, so is there a party that's kind of scared, though? Because I imagine that you have, that you're cognizant of the fact that you were interesting because you were in a very dark time. Like, you were going through a lot of turmoil, and that causes, I don't know, interesting television.
Of course.
Now, if things are smooth sailing, Is it more pressure to like bring something to the show or is it like we're just in a different time and if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't.
No, I think that's a great question. I think that there's such an interesting dynamic to see such a bipolar opposite side of me. I think that's the interesting piece. You got to see me in one demographic and now you get to see me in another light now. And I think that's, and I think also with it is there's so much, the stigma with around addiction has been lifted so much. And I think so many people suffer with substance abuse or mental health. So to be a person that can advocate and speak upon it and actually be open and transparent about it, I think is its own storyline within itself personally. Cause I think there's just so many people that can relate to it. That's the thing that I've noticed with everything that I've talked about, because by expressing vulnerability, it creates, you know, humility. And I think a lot of people just want to be able to have a vice or somebody to be able to go to that they can relate to.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's different.
I love that addiction is so accepted. I'm like dying for mental health, not dying. I really want mental health to get to where addiction is. What, maybe we should work together.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that it's interesting. Cause I'll ask you, I mean, a big thing is there was, a poll that I did around how many of us were taught about physical health at a young age, right? And a lot of us learned that it's important to exercise, PE. We had a lot of education around that. And then I did another poll, and that was about 90% of people said that they'd heard it or had done that in their life. And then I said, how many people have you learned, you know, about mental health growing up? And it was like 4%.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing is a lot of things have transitioned today.
Well, I would assume that they go hand in hand too. If you are suffering from mental health issues, sometimes you'll compensate for whatever you're feeling with substance abuse.
Correct.
I mean, I like that what you're saying is that you're using what originally was a weakness for you as now a strength. But let's just be honest. I mean, I've been around enough reality TV idiots to know that there's going to be a lot of drugs hanging around. Is this actually hard for you now?
We don't have drugs.
No, we don't have any drugs.
Not like we don't. Oh, we don't have any. But like, we're just like.
You holding, bro?
we're drinkers. Like, and not everyone really drinks that much. Everyone has kids. They've got to, you know, we're grown-ups. Well, I'm not.
I feel like we kind of have our narrative too. Yeah. Like, I feel like this is my first time on reality TV, and I feel like we wanted to have our narrative. And so we chose what we wanted to be involved in and not involved in. And when it came to like the nighttime club scenes, we had an exit route, and we decided like, if you're uncomfortable, if you feel weird and drinking's going on, we're leaving. Yeah. That's just the way we rolled. That's the only way we would do the show.
Well, it's not even that. This is how we interact in our normal life today. It's not like I'm out at clubs and stuff anymore. Yeah. I mean, I have a daughter. I'm married. I mean, it's just not part of my forte. I mean, do we go hang out and have barbecues and enjoy each other's company? Of course. But after a couple hours, when people start acting a fool, it's not something I want to be around anyways. And sometimes it's, quite frankly, we were just reminiscing on some old stuff that we were doing. And looking back, a lot of it is, some of it's fun to people watch. You know what I mean? Because it's a good reminder of where I don't want to be.
Am I a bad drunk?
You're hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, good.
You're hilarious.
That's code for yeah.
He knows you well.
So can I ask, like, how long have you been sober?
So I've been sober six months now.
Okay. Start this.
Yeah.
When you left the hills.
Correct.
Let's talk about what happened. When did you meet Ashley and the troubles you went through?
Go. I would like you to kind of give an overview of it.
Well,
if you don't
this
mind.
Is really.
Okay, so there's been a lot that's happened in the last like 5 years per se, but Jason and I met about a year before
a
month before his 1 year sobriety.
Yeah.
The other time that he got sober. So
originally, I'll help you in the beginning. So yeah, I got sober July 23rd, 2010 originally is when I came off sobriety rehab, actually ended up doing the whole deal and actually acquired about 4.5 years of sobriety from July 23rd, 2010 to almost 2015.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah. And we met a month before his 1 year sobriety birthday and we started dating. So it was the first relationship that he had ever had sober and his first like faithful relationship that he had ever had. Timing, I feel like, is everything. I was in a place in my life where I wanted to settle down. He was. We got married about a year and a half after that, 2 years. And we were both doing amazing. We bought our first house. We bought a dog. Like everything was picture perfect, cookie cutter Orange County, just the way you would think it would be. And Jason started working a lot and he started being prescribed Adderall. He was a long time ago and he started taking Adderall, which he says is bottled dyslexia. So he would take like 12 every 1 hour instead of one every 12 hours.
Prescription dyslexia.
Wait, he took 12? Wait, what?
So basically what happened to you is on that is which like everything became so good. Like, I mean, the program had worked so well for me that life had become like everything I'd ever wanted came to fruition and stuff. But little did I know, I stopped working my program. My program was not my priority anymore. I got inundated with work, life, all the materialistic stuff. And I started to go from working my program to going out and venturing out this way. So
you put work number one, sobriety number two.
Correct.
Yes.
And where was Ashley?
I was just co-signing everything.
She was co-signing.
Whatever.
All of it.
I love
so
it.
So I actually went. I went to a right. a psychiatrist, and I went there with no intent of actually abusing the prescription. And basically, it lasted for a couple months because I thought it would help me, you know, narrow my thought process and be able to get me back on track and focus. And lo and behold, about 3 months into it, I got prescription dyslexia, where I, instead of taking one every 4 hours, I was taking four every 1 hour, and it got up.
Every 1 hour?
I was taking up to about 400 milligrams of Adderall a day.
Thank God you're drinking it.
Crushing it.
And then he was taking so much Adderall, he couldn't sleep, so then he started drinking. So we did that, like the dance for about 3 years where, you know.
Did you hide the drinking at first?
The drinking didn't come into play in the very beginning. It came in like middle way through it.
Yeah. And then he was drinking about a fifth.
Were you hiding it, or did you just say to Ashley, like, you know what? I've got it under control.
Oh, no, it was you have to keep in mind is I was working in the recovery space with this. And I think that's the other thing too, is I was literally dying trying to help people. That's the biggest piece to this whole thing is where I started, cause there's so many different elements that happened with this. I mean, I started my own business. I was working with a lot of people. I mean, in the depths of all this, I mean, I even got the Voices Recovery Award from Congress in Washington, D.C., when all this stuff was going on, So, I mean, I'm not proud of those moments, but I mean, there were so many different things that had happened through that. And, you know, there was a lot of trials and tribulations that came from it, you know, but I think the biggest thing is that we've learned through this is that Ashley had a lot of her own, wherever there's, you know, where sometimes I like to say is, you know, the codependent or the enabler can be just as sick, if not sicker than the alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And that was her contribution to this is, she thought she was helping when in reality she was really contributing to my
disease. So you're okay with him drinking?
Well, I don't think I was okay with it, but
No. I'm just like trying to like get to the juicy part of the story.
So when you love somebody, addicts can be very manipulative into making you think that you have like a false reality in front of you. So basically he would say, oh, I'll get sober if this, or I'll do this if this. And he was working in recovery. So I believed everything he said because I didn't really know anything about addiction. You know, I saw it firsthand, but I wasn't working a program. I didn't really know. I didn't really talk to anybody. It was a huge secret. I was living this huge lie, basically, while my husband was working in recovery and he's at home passed out drinking a fifth of vodka every night.
Okay, so it was not a beer here and there.
No.
But did you ever come to him and be like, you see the hypocrisy in all this, don't you?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was your response to that?
Well, and that's the thing is it wasn't like I was just on this 3-year bender, right? It was more of like I utilized everything, all the knowledge that I've gotten around all this, and I would actually implement it, and it would not stick though. And that's, I think, the scariest part is, I mean, I'm working with ASAM certified doctors. I'm working with some of the elites of the elite in the industry, and I was able to fool them. I mean, and the only person I was really fooling was myself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was actually conversating with her, and I think it even got to the point where I was even, you know, like it was almost a verbal altercations we would get in all the time around, like if she would say something, I mean, it would destroy everything that I'd created, right? Which in reality it was killing me and damaging my marriage. The other stuff didn't matter. So I think I got so sick that I didn't want to believe it. I had such a false sense of reality now that I started believing my own lies.
Yeah.
And so, what was the consequence? How long did it take for this to blow up?
Well, we had like lost our house. We lost.
Okay. I know this.
Yeah. You too.
But everyone else does.
I know, but I need them to say one more detail first.
Okay.
I love them. I know everything about them. Okay, so Jason also has a gambling addiction.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So you were gambling online or you were going to Vegas?
Both. Gambling
on
sports.
He would sports bet on his phone all the time. I remember we went to New York one time and he would knock it off his phone and he was just spending hundreds of thousands.
And yeah, how much money do you think you've spent?
I probably
gambling?
Lost a couple hundred grand.
Okay.
Man.
In a 6-month period.
And what did you bet on? All sports or was it like football? Okay.
But it would fluctuate, dude, up and just kick me in the butt, man. And then I'd go to Vegas and play blackjack and
tens of thousands of dollars. Big.
Okay. And then he came home one day and what'd he say?
Sold the house.
What? He bet the house.
He didn't bet the house. No, that's
lost. Yeah, right.
That's different. He didn't bet the house, but one day I had left and he came back and he had sold the house and everything inside of it.
Whoa.
I mean, I would leave my husband so fast.
That's not what happened at all.
Okay, what happened?
We were in a place where we had to sell the house.
Okay, I'll explain. Okay, that messed up. So
wait, don't ruin my really good story.
I'm glad that I know the truth of what Ashley thinks happened now, because that's definitely not what happened.
House keys.
I'm down. The sober one. That is like,
No. There was a multitude of things that happened. There's multiple events that happened. I did not just say, oh, the house is sold. Guess what? The realtor came over, took photos. She knew the whole thing was going on. We had, you know, I had to sit down with her. I was like, look, we're in a spot where we need to get rid of the house.
And it was your fault. Completely.
It was my, yeah, for sure.
How pissed off were you, Ashley?
Cried a lot.
Your house is gone.
I cried a lot.
Did you ever think of breaking up with him?
I mean, there were definitely times when you feel like you're at a complete crossroads where you really don't know what to do in your marriage or your relationship. But it's interesting because, like, when you love somebody so much and they're your soulmate, you really would do anything for them. And I just didn't want to give up on him. I knew he was sick. So it's just
the queen.
Stop.
Queen, but also like the vows say, like for richer or for poorer, like I think that's part of.
But I think
the
it's
deal.
More of a trust thing. Like you sold totally. The house because you spent all of our money secretly. Like, are you kidding me? I want to start a family, and you've gone and done this.
I'd be mad too, but like,
I would.
You know
just
what
be
though?
So, sorry, Jason.
No, this is good. This is perfect.
On
I'm
that note,
this.
Though, you have to remember, like when we were in this house, it was very destructive. This is where Jason had first relapsed. So he was explaining it to me, like, if we sell this house, I can get sober. I won't have bad memories. We'll move to a new place. We'll have a family. So,
but was there money for a new place?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
We sold the house, so we had some money.
Oh, okay. So I thought you sold the house just to pay gambling debts off.
Mm-mm.
Well, we had some, but
you
we had really-
You are making this story so less intense.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, but I don't know. You and Ashley must have had some good conversations.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
My mouth was like, open for hours.
Yeah, no.
So did it work though? It was ridding yourself of the demons of this house and all that stuff. Did it work?
Absolutely not.
Oh, God.
No. Then I thought, you know, oh, we'll
that's
have a baby.
Real quick, because like, you bring up a great point. This is a whole part of the manipulation. And in my head, did I believe that? I firmly believe that. It wasn't like I had this master plan behind me like, oh my God, I can't wait to sell this house. I'm going to take all this money and go do this. It was more of the intentions were there. But I did not, the disease was so progressive with me. It's a primary chronic progressive, potentially fatal disease, right? That's the way we look at it. It's the way it's scientifically bound to. I was in that progressive state where my manipulation for myself, I that's where I was not able to believe what was going on. Cause there was times where I'd literally be bawling. Just like, I want to stop, but I could not actively arrest the disease and get stabilized. And that's where it's like, unless you suffer with addiction, I mean, it like consumes you. It becomes a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job where nothing else matters to you and all you're focused on is getting that substance.
What has been the strongest addiction that you've had? Like the one that like trumps all the others? Is it gambling? Is it
alcohol for sure.
Okay.
Alcohol for sure. I think, quite frankly, I was such an upper person that I would honestly probably say, I think my drug of choice is alcohol. That's what I always go to. But I would say the hardest one is probably Adderall.
Yeah.
The hardest one.
Isn't alcohol technically a depressant. So I feel like you were self-medicating with the medication. You were taking uppers, then you were taking alcohol to like bring you back down to level.
Correct. Because for the first year and a half of using, and so people know, I mean, Adderall is basically pharmaceutical synthetic grade meth. I mean, yeah. I was taking so much of it. I mean, if there's pictures and stuff, I mean, I'd pick my face and it was horrible.
It's like changing, what was it? The ink cartridge or something? The shredder,
I was taking apart
shredders like a tweaker and
all sorts
of stuff. 3 in the morning.
A former meth addict.
Yeah.
I know how you feel.
Yeah.
I had picked my whole face off.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing is I liked it so much. I didn't have to, I wasn't consuming alcohol for that first year and a half. You know what I mean? But it was just.
Oh yeah. I was just going to McDonald's and eating so much, getting tubs of ice cream, eating it in the mirror and be like, I'm getting skinnier.
Wait, why do you pick your face off though?
It's like a twitch.
It's a tweak. A tweaker?
We tweak. No, but it's more of like, I think I would have an ingrown hair.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just go
feel
to town.
Things.
You
it's like obsessing over
my
something.
Arms too.
Yeah.
It's.
Try it.
He sounds
everyone
really
who's
excited.
Listening to this podcast
oh
right
God.
Now,
that
disregard.
Joke,
yeah, that's a
don't
joke.
Don't try meth.
Yeah, do not try that.
Oh yeah, that's like, everyone on Cops is on meth. And you've seen what those criminals look like.
But it's one of those things, like it's almost like, for me at least, I mean, like when you hear people like they need to take opiates just to feel better. I mean, like when they're on heroin or oxys or stuff, they just need to like feel normal. That's how it was for me is, I mean, the high went away completely. I mean, I was taking that many milligrams a day just to like try to feel normal.
Yeah.
Did you know that that was a problem?
Oh, for sure. Okay. But I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It was the worst thing is like, you'll hear in the rooms and stuff, like when I go to my meetings and things, it's like a belly full of booze and a head full of AA is like the worst thing to ever have. And I mean, because that's like the guilt and the shame and all this stuff, because you know all this stuff, but you can't fix it. I mean, that was the, because I wasn't willing to put in the action until later on down the road.
So what was rock bottom for both of you guys? Because I imagine your stories are different.
Rock bottom for me was wanting to take my life again, man. And I think that's, I mean, where I get into when I'm that deep into, the, like, because I mean, I was drinking probably 2/5 again a day, taking 400 milligrams Adderall. And I mean, so, I mean, I was in a drug-induced psychosis, you know, not wanting to live again. And then I just had this baby, you know, probably, what was it, 4 months?
You went into rehab
when she was 6 months.
When she was 7 months old.
Okay,
she
so just started. But crying. So I mean, when she so when we had basically had a newborn, she was still really young. I mean, just kind of like, how did my life get to this? We had like all these things, and like I had this in sobriety, and this is where it's taking me back. And I kind of just had like a flash, you know, of more of like I want to be here for my daughter, especially. I mean, there's a whole nother gnarly side. We had 6 family members of ours die, seven within a within a year period.
Within those two years.
Started. Dating, right?
No, when we were married. When all this started happening and Jason had kind of relapsed, we'd also lost like 7 family members within that time, including my dad, my grandfather within 6 months, his grandpa within 6 months, which were huge figures in my life.
They're all patriarchs in our family. So I think that, just real quick to finish my thought and you can go back to that, but is having that, like with her dad not being there and stuff, like this is a very selfish disease, you know what I mean? And it's self-sabotaging. I mean, my daughter and Ashley, and quite frankly, because I mean, nobody could stop me at that point. It was really came down to Delilah was my motivating factor. You know, it really was, because she had tried a ton of times. My parents tried helping it, and there were so many different variables that came into play, but I would say it was honestly being there for my daughter. And then obviously Ashley ties into that.
So babies do fix bad relationships and addiction.
I don't know about that either. I feel like she's listening to a whole different podcast, right?
That was a joke again. They don't, but it sounded like a baby made everything better. But that is a one case scenario.
Here's what we've learned so far on the podcast. Do meth, and if you have any problems in your life, just have a kid and that'll fix it.
Okay, God. I'm saying that exactly as a joke. All right.
Wait, so Ashley, was your rock bottom for that?
I think... when I had Delilah, Jason was actually in detox. So I put him in detox 3 days before I went into labor.
Yeah.
And he was barely there for her birth. So I had to actually call. It's the craziest story. So I was in triage and I'm like dilating about in labor and they're about to take me into the labor and delivery room. And I call the nurse because I knew I had put him in detox. I said, I'm about to have a baby. I just want to let you know I need my husband sober before I have this kid. I can't have this baby by myself. She said, okay. So when I called, I was in labor and delivery. I called them and I'm saying, okay, I'm in labor and delivery. Like, let's AWOL him, get him out of there. And they're like, can you just let him sleep another hour so he can sober up a little bit more? I'm thinking, are you effing kidding me? Like, I'm having a baby right now. My husband's in detox. So I'm on the 4th floor. He's on the 1st floor at the same hospital. It was crazy.
I feel like this. You told this to another man. And he was like, you'll be fine for another hour. He needs to sleep.
I'm pretty sure it was a man on the phone. I will say I'm almost 100% positive it was a man on the phone. Yeah. So I think that was like the beginning of my boundaries. Because once that happened, Jason had come home. And the problem was, you can explain this part. You hadn't.
Yeah, well, I was only in detox for less than 72 hours and I didn't actively arrest the disease. You know what I mean? So when I got back out, I took that. I was like, oh, free window. You know what I mean? And went right
back
at it.
Within two weeks, you had relapsed again. And it just got to the point where I was taking care of Delilah. And it's a scary thing when somebody is using and you're in the same house as them. It's just not really a safe place. You have a baby, you're exhausted. Your emotions are at an all-time high. And so when Delilah was about 6-7 months old, I just couldn't take it anymore. I kicked him out. He went to his sponsors for a couple weeks. And he just couldn't get better. And I just decided, you know what? Like, if you have to go to rehab. We don't have a choice. And I don't care what the world thinks of you. I love you for who you are. I love you unconditionally. I don't care at this point. I want you alive, not dead, for our child, for us, for our family. That was the most important thing to me. I could care less what the world thought about him as being this recovery advocate, Jason Waller. I said, so what? Like, you'll get a different job. I work. It's fine. We'll figure it out. You know?
So she says this to you. And then you go, I guess, to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And then is that the time in which you finally kind of like came through and...
Yeah, so I went back. So I went to treatment. What was that?
March, April last year.
Oh wow, recent.
Yeah, so it was a year and
you've been a year clean of pills.
Yeah,
over a year clean of Adderall.
It was like 14 months ago. Yeah, so I've been clean for 14 months off of Adderall, and that was where everything really kind of stabilized again. That was the first time I went back. I went to detox and actually went into residential for 30 days and like fully dedicated my life back to this. And you know, there's been a bump or two along the way, but it's something that for me is I take this a day at a time. You know what I mean? And it's now I have over 6 months, you know, continuous sobriety, and then it's been amazing, you know, to be back on this track and to be able to walk through this. And I think that's the thing that we're talking about within the show is being able to express what we've gone through and what we've experienced, and to actually provide inside education and a solution. You know, and you don't have to live like that. It's something that, you know, a lot of people go, it's more common than not. And I think people don't realize how common it is. And a lot of people don't even know that if they are struggling or not, you know what I mean? That's the thing is there's so, I'm not even going to go into it with alcohol and different components of it, but people just don't even know if they're struggling or not when in reality they probably are.
Was this like a premeditated, decision to go back on the show to give a voice to a lot of people who suffer from this? Like, is this how you thought it would be going back on the show?
One of the only reasons I'm going back on is for that.
That's cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I want to kind of go back to the beginning of all of this.
Of course.
Because you're, this is weird because your wife's in here, but like you're tied to Lauren Conrad.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Oh, sorry,
like,
Ashley.
Sorry.
Wells loves the hills.
Yeah.
Sorry. We got to go back.
So I guess I just want to like, go back to that time in your life,
mm-hmm.
And kind of like, I want to hear you speak on that then compared to you now, you know?
Yeah. Do you have specific questions you want to ask around it?
Do you regret any decisions that you made back then?
You know, I honestly don't. I don't want to be all cliche. It's like, oh, I don't regret any of the decisions because it allowed me to be the person I am today.
Yeah.
But that's the truth is honestly, I wouldn't want to have switched anything. I mean, because I really, really am. I can honestly look at you today and say, I'm honestly very happy and content with who I am. And I really love my life, you know, and, you know, back then there's obviously a lot of decisions, a lot of things that were very foolish that I had to make amends for. And I had to, you know, pay the price and what that did. But for me is all great change proceeds through chaos. And I think being able to have that, I mean, look at where things are today as everything has come full circle, being the drunk womanizing alcoholic, you know, 12, 13 years ago to being a person that's totally changed his life around. I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, especially for me, it gives me goosebumps looking back, you know, kind of seeing where things were because I was in a sick place. You know, it was not the best person.
Should she have gone to Paris?
100% she should have gone to Paris.
100%. When people recognize you, is that always said?
A lot,
I feel like that made it was so famous.
Yeah, a lot of people.
The girl that didn't go to Paris.
The girl that didn't go to Paris. A lot of people ask, they do ask about that.
That's so funny. What else do they ask you?
They always ask if the show's real. I mean, that's like probably the number one thing. Who do I like the most?
Who do you like the most?
Now or back then?
Back then. Who was your crew back then? And who's your crew this
time
around?
So back then it was Jordan Eubanks and Brian Drolet. And obviously Lauren and Heidi, that was kind of like the people I associated with and hung out and Jen Bunny a little bit.
Oh yeah.
But then so I didn't really connect that much with, and Frankie Delgado for sure. And then this time around, I'd say Stephanie.
Are
Ashley,
you just saying that?
No, I'm being honest.
I knew it.
Heidi Spencer.
No, he loves you.
I know.
Audrina. I think kind of hang with everybody. I think the people I don't really hang with that much is maybe Brody and Caitlin and who's the other
Ashley's
one?
Favorite people.
Brandon. But everybody else I kind of connect with.
Also.
What was the best and worst thing about being on the OG Hills?
The best thing was being able to have a documentary of everything that I went through. So I could kind of look back and be like, yeah, dude, jackass for sure there. And I mean, it's a good thing to be able to reflect back on. And I think the coolest part about that is honestly, is like Laguna Beach and the Hills really revolutionized the way TV was done. I mean, it was one of the, I did not know how big of a phenomenon it was going to be. And it was, and that's not from my perspective. That's just from what I've heard in the industry.
Besides Lauren, who else did you hook up with?
I'm not going there.
Come on.
Stephanie.
Oh, sorry,
inappropriate.
Sorry.
Not happening.
Come on. Yeah.
No.
For so
long. Okay. No. Pass is pass.
I'm just curious
pass.
If it was Heidi. Have you ever?
No. Okay. I can tell you that. No.
Kristen?
No.
Kristen? Okay. Jen Bunny?
No.
Okay.
That was it. That was it. They're the only people I know.
Yeah.
Ashley.
Yes.
You weren't on the original, but now you're doing this. Is this easy or harder than you thought I was going to be doing a reality TV show?
Is it weird to say it's kind of easy?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just felt like really comfortable. I'm really confident and comfortable with who I am. I feel like I got to do it with my husband. So it's nice to have him on the show. He made me feel so comfortable. I don't know.
And they live a very chill, happy life. So that's also how it is for them
on the
show.
Well, let's be real.
Actually,
Well, and who knows if I'm going to say that when the show comes out. Like, I might come back and say, like, I don't think the show is easy.
I definitely thought it was difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The scheduling wise was very difficult. Being on camera is easy. Driving back and forth to LA and the 4 to 5 times a week and all that, having a child is very difficult because it takes a toll on your heart. I mean, you want to be with your child and your family and having a little bit of a break, but
so
camera wise, I felt like it was easy. Schedule wise, I felt like it was difficult.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you're also working.
Yeah. And I also work at a salon 3 days a week.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm a hairdresser. I have a job. I've owned my own business for almost 7 years. So
Queen.
So it was hard. I do like a couple clients at the salon. I drive 3.5 hours to Whitney's house, Studio City, shoot a 1 hour scene and then drive home. It was crazy.
Wait, sorry. Quick question. I can't believe I've never asked this. Did you watch Laguna Beach or The Hills?
I did, but I was actually an OC fan. I loved the OC.
Oh, of course. Everyone is.
Yeah.
But so you saw Jason.
I did.
You knew who he was when you met him.
Yeah. I knew who he was.
Was it love at first sight?
Yeah. Yeah, was it?
Oh,
or was he drunk?
God.
I mean, we were both drunk the first time we met, so I don't know if it was love at first. He was really hot. But
the first, so just to clarify, because we went on our first date with 11 months sobriety, right? Prior to that, a year prior to that, before I went into celebrity rehab, I met her out before I got sober.
At Las Palmas on Hollywood Boulevard.
And you waited for him? For rehab show?
No. So I actually worked at Geisha House for a little bit.
Oh my God.
Do you remember?
Geisha House.
Yes.
Yeah. We filmed there on the Original Hills.
I used to be a maitre d' and I used to see him walk in and out all the time with a water bottle. And so I heard through the grapevine that he was going to be on Celebrity Rehab and he was trying to clean up his act. He was actually living in Newport with one of my girlfriend's boyfriends at the time. And that's how we reconnected a year and a half later.
Timing is everything.
Right. Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so now that you're on the show, who is your favorite cast member?
I do not have a favorite. I love everybody.
Other than your husband.
Honestly, I get along with everybody. I don't really have like favorites.
Yeah.
I love Stephanie. I love Heidi. I love Audrina. I love Misha, Jen. Like, we all get along. Whitney.
What's that face, Stephanie?
I'm looking away in case you wanted to say I'm your favorite. I didn't want to make it uncomfortable.
She said your name.
Looking away.
Oh, okay.
I do love you.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun together.
I'm really
actually have never laughed so much as when I'm with Stephanie. We have a really good time. And we've had a lot of like emotional talks too. Like, it's been a really great season where her and I have connected a lot.
Yeah, I think when I fall apart the most, I'm with you actually.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
God, I can't wait. Are you excited for the premiere of this thing?
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
What does your family think? Because when I did a bunch of reality TV shows, my family was like, I don't know about all this.
I think my mom loves it because she just wants to like, you know, my mom's so funny. She's like total dance mom. I danced my whole life. So she's into it.
Stage mom.
Yep.
Dance moms.
Totally. Everyone in my family is really supportive. I think timing again is everything. It's a time in our life when we have such an interesting story, but so many people suffer with the same thing. So I think it's like a need right now in the world to be really vulnerable and share real experiences and truths with people. So I'm really excited about that, especially our dynamic.
I still can't wrap my brain around the Misha Barton aspect of this whole thing. What is your relationship like with her?
I really like her.
Yeah.
Like, we've gotten to know each other really well. I think sometimes it's hard to kind of connect with her. She's a really private person.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I have like a way of like opening people up, but I feel like when I have conversations, I don't like to have surface conversations with people because that's like not my MA. If I'm going to be friends with you,
that's
I
how
really
we originally
wanna...
bonded.
Yes. Like, I just...
We don't like surface...
I don't like surface BS. Like, how's your day? Where'd you go shopping? Nothing cute bag. Like, I don't want to deal with that. It's kind of like, who are you? What are you about? Where'd you come from? Like, tell me your story so we can get to know each other. It's just kind of the way I bond with people, especially at this age. I don't want to make friends with people that just don't want to be honest and open and real. I don't have time for that.
Right.
There's just no time.
Who do you guys think is going to be like the biggest storyline on the show?
I would probably say Audrina and Justin have a pretty big storyline.
Stephanie's family drama has a big storyline.
Yeah, Stephanie's family drama's got a...
But we all know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those two would be the two.
And I have, and our story actually, I think, is pretty big.
And I have one with Audrina.
Well, you and Audrina.
Well, you
for
in general,
sure.
You got your whole own storyline.
Yeah.
Stephanie,
would you
the
say
star?
I've got the craziest drama?
Yes.
You're the life of the show for sure.
100% Stephanie has.
Hands down, she's one of the funniest people I've ever met. Yeah. I'll give her that for sure. Literally.
Thank you. I really hope they don't edit funny stuff out like they did on Made in Chelsea for me.
No, you're so witty. There's so many times where you just have me rolling.
Yeah, well, rolling. I guess one time I was like on the floor drunk.
I don't know which time.
After we went to watch the drag show.
Oh.
Yes. The next
I wasn't
day,
there Ash, because I didn't go to the club because I went home to my
See,
baby.
I didn't even know that you weren't there.
I know. She told me. I heard you didn't know that anybody was
no,
there.
No. Honestly. I was like, who was the producer there? I'm really mad
I
at them for not sending me home.
Day.
Yeah. When I heard I was on the floor, I was like, this, done. Okay, shit.
Wait, Ashley, do you drink?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. So how is that with you guys?
So I actually work like my own 12-step program. I'm not sober, but it's something where I learn a lot about addiction and the effects of alcoholism and how it's had an effect on my life, how to not have resentments anymore. It's helped shape me. So I have like a mentor sponsor. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I deal with my thing. Back to your question about drinking, I don't keep it in the house. I haven't really ever since Jason's been sober or even before that. I just think it's like my own thing. It's like having candy. Like you're on a diet and you have fresh cupcakes or a baked cake in front of you. Like, why would you want to do that to somebody?
Yeah, why would you?
I mean, I'm not on a diet, so I'll totally eat those. But, you know, it's like a respect thing. Also, I think I'm a little older. I don't really want the calories that much anymore. And I get hungover after two drinks. So I don't drink a ton. But I like to have fun for sure. Yeah. I mean.
Do you remember when we were playing pool?
We had so much fun.
So much. What were we drinking? Did.
Something weird. I don't know. Pink or something.
Yeah, with, like, and then we had another glass. We were double fisting with white wine, I feel like.
Yeah, at the bar inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was such a fun. That's when it all kicks off. Oh my God. So at the beginning of the series, there's a bombshell dropped like straight away. And that continues. I think it's still continuing and it will be for the next series to come.
I would agree.
Yeah. So
for sure.
You don't want to miss the beginning of the series.
No, you don't. You don't want to miss any of the series. It's going to be really good.
Are you scared at all?
Yes. I think like...
Are you scared, Steph?
Yeah. Yeah.
Should she be scared?
Probably a little bit. I mean, you're being your friend. Yeah, a little bit.
So I guess like you've been through a lot. You both have been through a lot, but you especially have been through the ringer. Do you have any advice? I mean, obviously these are different situations, but do you have any advice for Stephanie with like just life turmoil?
No, I mean, I think with her, I mean, I think with any family dynamic, there's too many ins and outs with that. And there's not enough information for me. And I mean, again, I'm not like a therapist or a life coach in those types of terms. But I think with that is I just think it's stuff that they need to be able to work on. I don't have any advice around that. You know, it's too touchy of a subject, I think. Maybe Ashley does.
No, I just love Stephanie.
Great answer.
She wears her heart on her sleeve. She's authentic. I love you.
I'm going to try to stop doing.
No,
really? No.
It's good. I like that part of you. Please
There's
don't.
There's no way that you're going to be able to do that. You can say those things.
I'll be crying.
Never going
like
to happen.
Like the first day being like, I miss wearing my heart on the sleeve.
Like I can see you showing up to set being like, I'm not saying anything. And then someone's like, can I get you anything? And you're like, a water. And they're like, there are no more water. She's like, you know what? This is not what I expected. They're like, wow, that lasted 17 seconds.
Oh gosh. Wait, was I more British before?
Yeah,
for sure.
But you had like a draw with your voice.
Oh, that's because it's posh. That was back in October when I landed.
I know. You were very British then.
I can't wait to hear that because I can't hear it. But like I get so much abuse for it. I can't wait to see how crazy I sound.
Like my Aussie?
Oh my gosh, please do your Australian accent.
No. Jason will get so upset about it.
Oh.
I know, it's very good, eh? It's like crazy. It's like my potty trick.
It's not normal. It is so good.
I know. And then a girl on The Bachelor did it, and I was so upset about it. I was like, that girl's totally stealing my potty trick. It's not funny.
Didn't work for her, though. She didn't last very long.
I know.
Speaking of other shows, what are you guys binging on or watching right now?
Oh, yeah, I need ideas.
Well, do you ever watch Narcos?
Yeah, I watched the first season. I haven't watched the second season.
I've been to both Narcos and Mexico, and we obviously just watched all of Game of Thrones.
I didn't watch all of it. I just watched last season, so I'm like
the
worst.
How'd you guys feel about the finale? Don't give it away, though.
I liked it.
I didn't like it.
A lot of people were mad in my Pilates class this morning.
Yeah,
I was bummed out. I thought episode 5 was great. I just thought the way that it actually ended in it on season 6 was like kind of random.
Also, kind of a jerk nickname for Bran. Like,
right?
The whole time I'm like, why are you calling this poor? He's a paraplegic and you're calling him Bran the Broken. Jesus. Hasn't he been through enough?
Right?
He's getting to walk since season 1, episode 1.
Right?
Let's think of a better name.
But another good show that we've been watching is She Got Me Hooked On, which was Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, because it's coming back 4th of July this year. I'm so excited.
That was a great
show. That's one of my favorite shows. And Big Little Lies is coming back. I'm so excited for that.
I'm going to watch the first series of that.
Big Little Lies?
Was it really good?
It happens in my hometown, The North.
The North.
Yeah.
Big Little Lies, you haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, you have to watch
great.
It. It's like very, very good. Nicole Kidman is insanely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what I wanted to tell you, Wells? And literally, I always want to text you, but it's at night and I don't want to be weird.
Okay.
I have another show for you.
What
Wells and I love the same shows. We love Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yep. And It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I need to write these down.
Oh my gosh, they're the best. So I've been watching on Amazon. It's called Those Who Can't.
Okay.
And also,
it's about teachers.
Yes.
Okay.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
And Tacoma FD.
Tacoma FD is the guys from like Beer Fest and from
what's that famous movie with the cops and they
Super Troopers.
Thank you.
And they
this
did Beer
Super
Fest.
Troopers
yeah.
guys.
Super Troopers. Oh my god.
That's so old.
And they're fire. Oh my god. It's
I gotta
so
check that
funny.
Out.
Okay. Only a few more questions for you guys. This one I like. So if you and Ashley were stuck on an island with one cast member from The Hills New Beginnings, who do you hope it is?
Who's like the most quiet?
The dog, Max.
Is the dog on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah?
He comes to work with me.
Oh my God.
Delilah.
Delilah's not a cast member.
I know. Well, she's on the show a little bit. I would take her.
Why don't we give you a few names and you can say one out of them?
I mean, I'd probably pick, I don't know, maybe Frankie. Because he's non-confrontational.
But he's going to be drunk a lot.
I can help him though, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, we could take Frankie.
Yeah. We're also stuck on a deserted island. There's no alcohol there.
Frankie knows everybody. He'd like
Frankie
deliver it in.
Yeah, he'd make it somehow.
He'd have like helicopters come or something. He's like part
he'd
of the high group.
The Bachelor Paradise set.
Yeah.
You know,
I want to ask you, who would that be for you?
Ashley.
I love it.
Wow.
I'm coming with you.
That's high praise.
Okay, he's so good. Fun.
Not even your dog.
Not even your dog.
I
your
didn't
dog
know
was someone
my
else's
dog
answer.
Part of it. I'm going to start crying.
My God.
Bring him.
Lastly, I want to know, like, what are you guys doing right now, just like in your careers, and what can we help promote?
So for me, I'm an advocate now. So I remove myself from like the day-to-day stuff in substance abuse and mental health, yep. where I used to be really in the trenches, you know what I mean? And I worked for years doing that. So I've really removed myself and I'm an advocate spokesperson for it. And what I've basically done is I partnered with Northbound Treatment Centers, which is out of Newport Beach. And we're actually giving a scholarship away every month for individuals that need help, but they don't have the means to get it.
Oh, that's
cool. So I think it's just more of, the best way I like to look at it is like, and I know they're two totally different things, but like a breast cancer survivor who advocates for if they've survived breast cancer, I'm like the same thing I'm a true advocate around that. And then I work really closely with a lot of missions. I'm on the board with the Los Angeles Mission with Kurt and Ann Douglas, Michael Douglas' family. And we do a ton of stuff down there and work with Robert Shapiro, Brent Shapiro Foundation. And so I just do a lot of service and philanthropic work.
Wait,
you know?
Bob?
Yeah, Bob.
He's like my bestie.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, him and Kathy.
Oh, yeah.
So for everyone listening, just quick note, if you want more information about any of the rehabs and businesses that Jason and charities that Jason's involved in, email us and we will connect you.
Or we can just go to like, is there like a website?
If you just go to my website, jasonwaller.com, it has kind of a cool breakdown of everything that's going on, what we're doing and where I'm at today.
And what about you, Ash?
Well, I don't have a website, but I'm in the beauty industry. I've been doing hair for over 7 years and I just am really working on like my hair kind of brand. I do IG tutorials all the time. So I want people
to feel. What's your Instagram?
It's at Ashley Waller. So I do a lot of hair tutorials, not like crazy involved hair tutorials, but I've noticed in my last 7 years of work, I've noticed a lot of people don't know how to do their hair at all. And a lot of people don't feel confident and sexy in their own hair. So it's just a way of like showing people easy, quick tips and tricks to feel confident and sexy in your own hairstyles.
I don't even own a blow dryer.
See? Yeah.
Wait, so you do, do you do like, you do tutorials and stuff?
I do, yes.
Okay, so then tell me what the hell is going on with James Charles, because I'm confused.
Okay, so I'm not very involved in any of that. Okay. I really don't know the whole story about all of that.
I don't think anyone really does.
I know.
That's the problem.
I just know that my assistant this morning that came into my makeup, she said that all of the Sephora products are 50% off.
Oh, wow.
What?
So I don't know if something... His.
Oh, I thought you said all.
So I know there's like, he lost like 2 million followers because he didn't give credit to Tati, who helped him in his career. And yeah. There's a lot more to unveil. But that's more of like the makeup world. I'm more into like the hair world.
So yeah, okay.
It's a little different, but it's still beauty.
Yeah.
A lot going on with that.
I just don't understand it, but I weirdly love it.
Yeah.
And you've been thinking about it a lot. We were talking about it last week. You're still on it.
I just think it's the dumbest, funniest thing in the world.
Tell him what happened. Anyone, please.
Yeah, just email me, call me, tell
me. Yeah, I don't know, honestly.
And I don't even know who this James Charles person is. And
I know,
he looks
so
like a wonderful person, but I'm getting so much joy out of knowing he's losing followers. And I don't know why that's happening. And that's why I want someone to explain it to me, you know?
Now I want to know, man. You got me.
Exactly. Like, I don't know why I'm so Team Tati. I didn't even know Team Tati was a thing until 7 hours ago.
Team Tati.
Team Tati.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't know about the Sephora thing. All for it. Gonna go... Gotta go get some freaking eyeshadow on the cheek.
The palettes.
See?
I guess he has great palettes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm actually going to Sephora after this.
Yeah.
Boom.
Look at that.
Yeah. Get the James Charles.
I'm going to send you guys
bargain
a photo.
Deal.
I have to go in to get mineral powder.
Yeah.
Bare Essentials.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Jason and Ashley, thank you guys so much for coming on the PrattCast.
Of course, thanks
thank
for having
so
us.
Thank you so much
man.
For having yeah. us.
Thank you.
Of course. So much.
Oh, and you. Know what else I have to show you is those nano iPods and all my DVDs. I've had them sitting out. I need to just take the photo and send it to you so I can throw them away.
Please.
But, yeah.
Why do you you want to send him a photo of old technology?
So we had this really fun Hills social media day and we were playing like different games and one of them like showed us things from back in the day.
From the
like,
2000s.
Think of like going
like
in,
2000s.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so it was like.
Flip phones.
Yeah, flip phones and then little nanos.
Yeah.
And Jason and I were together and I was like, I still have this.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? And I was like, I just asked my brother to put music on it.
Right. That's so
and,
funny.
And then he was like, well, same with like DVDs. And I was like, both of my, like the wall cabinets that like enclose my TV are just full of DVDs.
Next to your trucker hats, right?
Yep. Oh my God, I'm totally going to send you a photo. I've got a trucker hat that says Miami Vice that I found. Yeah. So I'm basically still in the 2000s.
I love it. That was actually a really fun thing that we did.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I was just asking him, when is that going to come out? Because it's so funny. I can't wait to watch it. Some of the things.
I can't wait for our green screen.
Oh my gosh.
We've done so much, you guys. Like, right,
so is this
right
stuff
June,
press or like sizzle
out.
Reel stuff? Or is it like part of the show?
I think the stuff that we're talking about is going to be like promo stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was fun, man. I never did anything like that before.
Yeah, we were
like crying.
So
like I was on the side of the stage just crying the whole time. I couldn't stop laughing.
I just remembered something else you did. Okay.
What?
I can't say it. Oh. It'll be a surprise.
Yeah.
Okay.
So embarrassing, dude. So embarrassing.
Well, that's rude because now I'm not in on the joke. It's fine.
Okay, whatever. Jason can do accents too.
I've not even gone there today.
Terrible. Okay.
That took me like a 2-hour buildup to get there. God.
You guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for being like so transparent and honest. I feel like you talked about some really hard things, and obviously like this is like your thing that you guys are doing on the show, but I do appreciate like your candidness and I guess courage for doing that, because I think a lot of people don't want to come into a recording studio or on a TV show and talk about this kind of stuff. So I appreciate that as someone who like doesn't really know you guys. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much.
You guys, honestly, you're just so incredible. And I'm so happy that our listeners get to hear Ashley's side of it and how you decided to stay with him. And I think that's just so, so strong. And I just absolutely adore you guys. I really love you guys so much.
Thank you. I love you.
It broke my heart when you guys told me about your family members, and I'm just so happy you guys found each other and are all good.
I love you.
I love you guys so much. And Delilah is delightful.
Thank you.
Delilah.
Yeah, she's the best.
She's so fun.
That's your daughter. Did you guys name her after the Plain White Tea song or?
The flower.
Oh.
No, that's a dahlia.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Or a dandelion.
Oh my God,
dandelion.
What's a Delilah? That's just a name.
You know what? It's so interesting. There were two names that we had. It was like Harley or Bella. And this was the first girl in Jason's family in 40 years.
Yeah.
So I felt like Harley was like too masculine. I really wanted her to have a really feminine name. And because she was the first girl in 40 years, I had to have like a beautiful name. And Bella, everyone in my family was like, everyone's name's Bella.
Everyone's dog's name is Bella.
Yeah.
Right.
So we were sitting at lunch one day, and you know Delilah Bell, Lisa Rinna's daughter. She's just like this beautiful, gorgeous girl. And for some reason, I was like, oh, I just love that name. She's so beautiful. Like, I just picture my daughter like looking like her, I hope. And so that's, we were sitting down and
Delilah
we said,
Ray.
Delilah, and my dad's, this is like a really quick story. But her middle name is Ray. We always knew her middle name was going to be Ray because my dad's name was Dennis Ray. And she was actually born on the solar eclipse. So I think it's my dad's blessing as her being like a ray of sunshine.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the first solar eclipse in like a million years. So
yeah,
that's really cool.
Yes.
Love that.
All right. Well, thank you guys. More information about all the things that Jason is doing at jasonwaller.com.
Yes, sir.
And then also obviously follow Ashley's hair tutorials at
Ashley Waller.
Do it. Do you have anything else? We got 2 minutes left before
I'm just staring at them smiling.
They are very pretty people.
They really are though.
I just want to say what you guys are doing is awesome too. I love that you guys have the show, and I, you know, for us, I just appreciate you guys having us on and being able to be open and transparent. You know,
like when the show starts airing, I want you guys on every week. Like
that was frustrating
holding back so much.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to. I'm much more reserved around all this stuff because of like we got the crew with us, my favorite people as well. But we got to be very. When the show comes out, I'll be more. Yeah. I'll be very happy to open up a little bit more.
Oh no! Oh gosh!
Okay. We need the show to happen because, like,
I'm dying for it.
I know. Yeah. Same.
And it's hard for me to be invested in something that I don't understand.
Right.
Yeah. So we're talking about those stuff, and I like. But the second the show airs, I'm going to be so mad at somebody, and then they're going to come on, and I'll be like, "Listen,
I can't
talk to you. What you just did last
very
night.
Passionate, yeah. Wells. Yes, very passionate.
But you know what's going to be really scary is he's the one that gets guests usually. So if I've got like, you know, one of my crazy fights and I show up on Monday and Wells has that person, like there's nothing I can do. Like it could be savage.
Yeah.
That'd actually be a great idea.
Yeah. Well, that's.
Well, he did it the other day with Kelly Catrone.
Oh my gosh. I heard that.
It's pretty great.
It was great.
Yeah.
Great.
He's got too much power. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
You want to do it?
Yep.
Hills, yeah.
Show's over.
Follow Prattcast on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.